Welcome to the HRAS Careers Podcast with your host, Troy Wallace, a podcast for human resources information systems professionals to help you elevate your HRAS career. We always say no one gets into HRAS on purpose, but it sure is interesting to find out how they did. We interview your HRAS peers to find out how they got tricked into the industry and what lessons and tools they used to progress their careers along the way. We discuss industry trends, AI, and even talk candidly about all the most popular HRAS platforms. Just think of it as the closest bar just outside the entrance of your favorite HR technology conference. Now you get it. Welcome in.
When you sign with ATS, we're doing at least the welcome call within that same week, or like within 4 or 5 days. We're scheduling the analysis call within 2 weeks.
We talked a little bit before that we hit record, and we got into so much good stuff. We said, we got to stop and just hit record.
I always had a passion for helping others achieve their goals. I had a lot of people that worked under me. I really chose the people, the culture that they had built. When I met Scott Scher, the founder and CEO of Ultimate Software, I would ask him all the time, I was like, how come your people never leave? It was the way he approached things, the way he took care of it, of his people, which then in return took care of their clients. When in return, they took care of the shareholders. That was really, for me, the calling. I really wanted to create something, something special like Ultimate Software.
Welcome to the HRAS Careers Podcast, recording live in our studios in beautiful downtown Omaha, Nebraska. Today, we have a great interview with Lou Salage, founder and CEO of ATS Consulting. ATS Consulting specializes in implementing software products in the UKG ecosystem. So that is the Ultimate and Kronos, when they merged together, became the UKG group. And his consulting company has grown to over 60 employees. Now, a couple other housekeeping items. Number one thing you don't want to miss. So if you don't listen to any of the other episode, I encourage you to go to about the 30-minute mark. I give Lou what I call the lightning or speed round, 5 questions, and that is definitely entertaining. And number two, I believe I asked Lou about this before I press record on the interview, but the name of his consulting company is ATS Consulting, which for all of us in the HRAS world, sometimes ATS means applicant tracking systems. He assured me that was simply named after his wife's initials and had nothing to do with the applicant tracking system. Here's why I thought Lou would be the perfect guest for what we're trying to do at HRAS Careers. We met about 10 years ago, maybe 10 plus years ago, and he was working as a finance payroll director for Equinox, which is a high-end fitness gym chain. At the time, they were primarily based in New York City and were growing pretty quickly, and they had acquired a company called SoulCycle. So I was in there helping them integrate some payroll things. I think one of the companies was on ADP at the time. And that's where Lou and I got to know each other initially. Now, I can't recall if Equinox was already using UltiPro or was doing the implementation around the same time, but I knew that Lou was really knowledgeable and definitely a proponent for that system. Lou and I had a great working relationship and had a lot of fun conversations talking about New York City, where Equinox had its offices. Once we finished up, Lou reached out to me a while after that to get a little advice. I think he was getting some inquiries about doing some consulting work on the side and wanted some advice on, you know, how to get that set up. So I'd sent him some documents and some things to think about and things that he might find helpful. Then I really lost track of him. So, you know, we'll fast forward to about a year ago. I had an old colleague ask me if I knew any good consultants in the UltiPro UKG space. And I thought back to Lou. So I had looked him up on LinkedIn and wow. I did not realize that he had started building this very substantial consulting company around the UKG ecosystem. I'm not going to say that it's easy, as you'll hear Lou talk about in the interview, but it really illustrates what you can do with your career in the HRAS profession. You can take your HRAS skill set as far as you want to, all the way to growing to a 60-person consulting firm. So this is just great. There's more in the interview, obviously, but I'm going to highlight 3 big things you can learn in this episode. So number one. You know, how Lou transitioned from his position as an employee at Equinox to going into his own consulting career and then obviously building out a full consulting practice. Number two. His 4 pillars for building and maintaining the ATS consulting practice. And number three. How the Ultimate Software and Kronos merger impacted the business. Obviously, there's way more in the interview than those 3 points, but I thought those were definitely points of interest.
If you want to watch the video interview, we will have it up on our YouTube channel. All the resources mentioned, any links, will all be in the show notes. We would certainly appreciate you following the show on your favorite podcast platform and leaving feedback or reviews. We will be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, etc. If you're interested in sharing your story on the HRAS Careers podcast, please go to hraskareers.com/podcast. There'll be a form there that you can fill out, or there'll also be a little widget there that you can record a quick voice memo, and we will certainly get back to you on that. And of course, if you are an employer looking for HRAS talent, you can list your opportunities on the hraskareers.com job board. And if you are looking for opportunities or ways to enhance your career in HRAS, certainly fill out your profile at hraskareers.com and or get signed up for the job alerts to have the best opportunities delivered straight to your email inbox. So please enjoy this inspirational, educational, and wide-ranging interview with Lou Salage. Lou Salage, welcome to the HRAS Careers Podcast. Depending on when this comes out, you may be number one. So I am super excited about this. So everybody heard the intro already, but Lou and I met, we'd have to do a little math, but probably 10 years ago, maybe a little more on an ADP project. And we talked a little bit before that we hit record and we got into so much good stuff. We said, we got to stop and just hit record. So let's start when you and I met. So you were a director of shared services at, it was Equinox, correct?
Yeah, that is correct, Troy. I was just hired by Equinox and they brought me in. They were going through expansion. I think there were about 40 locations. They're a very high-end fitness company. They had about 40 locations. They were expanding in London. They were expanding in Canada and they were using ADP and there were three different versions of ADP. And they brought me in and said, hey, you know, we're going to figure out a solution. We can't have just three different HRS systems feed downstream to one, you know, system for AD or a security. So that's really when you and I met, and I was so gracious to have met you because I had nothing. I didn't know anything about ADP and enjoyed those year or two that you helped me out.
Yeah, before. I remember we were having some good conversations. Not always about HRS and payroll stuff, but it was fun.
It was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed our conversations.
So I know this is going to cover a lot, but I am super interested because we haven't talked really much at all since those days. I'm going to do a little digging that you built this nice consulting company on the UltiPro and UKG world. So I know this is going to be a long couple of steps,
yeah.
But let's talk about what was happening back in that Equinox project and then kind of your stair steps into, you know, building this business.
Yeah. Listen, I always had a passion for helping others achieve their goals. I had a lot of people that worked under me at Equinox and my goal was like, you know, how do we get better systems? How do we get better people? I spent almost 10 years at Equinox, but it was just great kind of growing the employees and a lot of people. And I look back now, everybody that kind of worked under me, they've gone to become either HRS directors or payroll directors, but that was really always, kind of my goal. But, because I had all the passion, you know, one day I said, hey, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I think you and I probably talk a lot in time. I said, I think this is my kind of stopping ground, but, my passion was always to help others, always to help more than just one client. And then that's really when I said, hey, I think I'm going to go do something a little bit more than just one client. And that's kind of ATS was born around helping clients. It was just me at the beginning, but, and you know, you look now and it's a 60 plus employee company.
Right. And we have some similar backgrounds in that because I was doing, a lot of client work on my own. I definitely kind of pulled back a little bit where you went full on forward. And this is what I really respect about what you've done. And, you know, for the listeners, you know, this is a possibility, right? If you're in an HRAS payroll role at a director manager level and you'll learn a skill set, you can build it into something, right?
Absolutely. I think, listen, I think you have to have the passion. You have to have the passion. I think HRS, payroll, you kind of a little bit in on the IT. I think those three kind of always run into circles. But to me, I think if you're really an HRS professional, payroll professionals. People in the past used to kind of look at the payrolls as like, hey, just somebody that's processing payroll and getting people paid. But it's a lot more. Payroll, I always say payroll, HRS can be very strategic departments or large and a small organization. There's a lot of data that sits on HRS. There's a lot of data that sits on payroll that can feed to a lot of the executives to make a lot of decisions. So that was really for me. I was like, how do I take these two departments, turn them into something strategic? And I started ATS in 2019, and it was just me, just like anybody kind of starts, one person, two people, and then grew a little bit in 2020. And 2021 and 2022 is really my pivotal point. I was like, do I continue this journey and grow and help a lot of clients like I did at Equinox and SoulCycle, or do I kind of just continue doing this? And for me, I think it was like, hey, I want to help more people. I want to help more clients. I want to help a lot more employees, create a company that really, people feel valued, people feel passion, a company that we can know, it will be known for like excellence, leave a legacy. That was really my calling to creating this company. It wasn't just, hey, let me just create a company. I really wanted to create a people first company, because it was really, really important for me. Because I think if you focus a lot on our employees, on the people, I think it shows a lot when we're working with these large kind of enterprise clients. And then in 2023, really that was a pivotal point, I think, for me. We went from 13 employees to now about 60 plus. I hired a head of sales, which it was the most important hire for me in February 2023. Then I hired a senior director of the professional services. We grew our Canadian employee count and clients, and really kind of took off. Almost a year later, we just came out from Orlando, Florida. We had a 4-day leadership meeting. We brought all our employees. We're 60 plus employees. We go four times the employees, and we have tripled our revenue. So all in all, it was a good decision, I think, for me at least, and I feel really proud of what we've done in the last 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, no, it's impressive, and I know it takes some work because I've been there a little bit, and it definitely takes some work. So let's take actually a step backwards.
Yeah,
because I always say nobody gets into this business on purpose. It's actually kind of a theme of the podcast is, everybody has some interesting story where maybe they got out of college to do one thing and something diverted their attention, and then they ran into a project, and then, they find that it could be a career. How did you run into getting into payroll and HR? And I think you were more from the finance side, correct?
Yeah, so I'm more on the finance side. Listen, I went to school. I was a double major. I was a pre-med, biology pre-med, and computer science. I always wanted to dabble into computers just from the very late 90s into early 2000s. But that was really my passion. You're right. I mean, I spent a lot of times, once I got into a shared services with Equinox, and then obviously we brought in UKG, I spent a lot of time around the UKG folks. I spent a lot of time around the sales team. I would do a lot of calls for them. But really, when people ask me, why did you choose UKG versus some of those other, for me, it was, I chose Ultimate Software. I really chose the people, the culture they had built. Because there's a lot of these HCM solutions for the most part. They offer a lot of the very similar thing. And why do you choose one over the others? There's a lot of tweaks. But for us, it was like, one, obviously the UKG did a lot of things. But for me, it was when I met Scott Scher, the founder and CEO of Ultimate Software, and I would ask him all the time, I was like, how come your people never leave? I mean, nobody left Ultimate Software. And it was the way he approached things, the way he took care of his people, which then in return took care of their clients. When in return, they took care of the shareholders. That was really, for me, the calling, besides a lot of the other things, like, hey, I really wanted to create something something special like Ultimate Software. And that was really my pivot point, why I decided to do this and to start ATS, besides a few other small things.
Right. So I've always been in more of the Oracle ecosystem, either by accident or, started in PeopleSoft and ADP payroll a little bit. And so I've always kind of settled in that Oracle ecosystem. So just for the listeners that aren't aware, because I know we've got Workday people listening to, and we've got the SuccessFactors, we've got Lawson people listening. So UKG really is the new acronym for Ultimate
Kronos
Group, right? So Ultimate really, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I always viewed it as kind of an HR system, also had payroll that you could run on it. Then obviously Kronos is always big in the time and labor.
Yeah.
Well, so essentially UKG is the merger of those two companies.
Yeah, I think that is correct. I always actually viewed slightly different. I always viewed Ultimate as a truly a payroll system and like, and then kind of HR system. I mean, they really had one of the, when we were going through evaluation, what I fell in love about it was how easy their payroll engine was. And even today, UKG has quite a lot of partners that use Workday for HR, and then you use UKG or Ultipro for Multipro for payroll. And then, yeah, you're 100% right. Kronos mostly on a workforce management. And I think the merger just brought, honestly, the two of the, in my opinion, again, we're exclusive UKG, so I'm a little biased towards UKG. But I just felt like it brought the best of the both worlds between workforce management and UKG, where we could provide kind of end-to-end solutions from hire to all the way to the labor. And for me, like I said, as being a partner at UKG, that was really some exciting news when the merger happened a few years ago.
So let's get real granular now. So where were you in your consulting business journey when that merger happened? Were you had already committed and were trying to build a team around this, or did it happen after you already had your team built? What did that look like?
It was very early stage on the ATS journey. I think we were 2 years in when the merger happened. I'll never forget. I was actually in Florida helping Ultimate Software with one of our existing clients, one of our large clients. There are 30-something thousand employees. And I could hear the chatter in the background that, hey, potentially, but, you know. And then when it was literally 2 weeks later, we came in. I came to New York. And then 2 weeks later, there was a news wire that, hey, the two are merging. For us, like I said, for me, I always looked at the best in class, you know, wanted to make sure we had the best in class for workforce management, best in class for HCM. UKG was using another partner, was using UTA as a time in and attendance solution. It was okay. In my opinion, UTA was okay. I just thought, you know, when the two merged, it was going to do something really, really special for us, which it did, honestly. You know, later in 2023, that's when we acquired the UKG's PrimeForce services, so we can kind of be an end-to-end solution and provide from it, you know, the whole HR payroll and workforce management solutions.
Right. And now we're just satiating my curiosity, because I always like to, you know, even though I'm in the Oracle, more of that infrastructure, I like to know what's going on in the world. So I did an evaluation for a company, 7-8 years ago, and they were looking at UltiPro, they were looking at Kronos standalone, they were looking at Workday. I think ADP was in, but got kicked out first round. You know, so I went through all the demos, and it looked like Kronos was getting awfully close to solving the whole pie. I mean, they weren't quite there yet on the HR side, but they had a product, and it was.
Which they had acquired. They had just acquired a HCM product, and then they turned it into Dimension HCM, which, by the way, still exists. It's called Ready. It's done yet, you know, about 500 employees.
Got it.
We still sell it to about 2,000 employees. But anything really upmarket is really the UKG UltiPro engine.
So that was my question, was how are they, what does that look like now? And it sounds like they are. Have divided the pie by maybe employee size of what product they're going to sell.
Yeah. So we divided the pie a little bit and honestly, both on the HCM side and the workforce management side. So you have Workforce Central, which was the older version of a workforce, and then we went to the Dimensions. So we're doing a lot of migration. A lot of our business, really, Troy, right now, is the migration from Workforce Central to Workforce Dimensions, and a lot of the migrations. You know, there's some migrations, you know, from Dimension HCM already into the UKG Pro. But they both really good. They both sell very, very well. And it just depends on the complexity and the size of the company. You know, in my opinion, I would never bring somebody 4,000, 5,000 employees into Ready, because I think the UKG Pro, as they call it, now UltiPro became kind of UKG Pro, is a much more robust version of that solution. But Ready just does a lot of things, you know, for say 2,500 employees and under, there's a really robust solution. It has all bells and whistles, has payment service kind of all built in, has the time and attendance all built in. So it's a really, really good product, and we sell them both, and we implement them both.
So if let's say we had a HRIS analyst, and he was working in UltiPro 6 years ago, and then he made a little shift in his career, went to work somewhere else, and maybe they're on another system, and then tomorrow he gets a great opportunity with another UKG shop. Is that HRIS analyst lost when he goes into the new world, or does it look enough like UltiPro or something he's familiar with that he would be okay?
Honestly, the UltiPro engine hasn't really, you know, it's not very much different. I mean, functionality, as you know, the beauty about UKG, why I love UKG, why we're exclusive to UKG is all the functionalities that they bring. They do two releases every year, spring and fall releases. And it's a lot of the things that a lot of clients go in and say, hey, you know, these are some of the things we would like to have on our roadmap. But no, if somebody, an HR analyst for 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I mean, I still use it. We as a company actually implementing UKG Pro. We're going to go live in July. You know, even though we're a small company, we're using the system. But no, somebody 4 or 5 years ago, it should look very, very familiar, you know, if they used it then and they use it now.
Right. So I keep I'll do a commercial for HRIS careers in general. So we have a job board, hriscareers.com. We get postings from whoever wants to post on there. It's free for people to get a regular posting. So I'm seeing more and more. I always see the Kronos Dimensions or the those pieces. And I'm like, oh, well, what is that? Like, what's the difference? So you're filling in the gaps for me.
Yeah. Listen, Kronos Dimension, like I said, mostly is the dimension is the, it's called now UKG WFM. So we've gone through some name changes. So technically you wouldn't see a lot of dimensions name anymore, but it's really the newest, the best in class, workforce management solution. That's part of the whole solution with UKG Pro solutions. You got UKG Pro, which is really the former UltiPro, and then you got UKG WFM, which was really dimensions. So that's for upmarket, 2,500 employees and above. And then you have the HCM, Dimension HCM, which is Ready. And then obviously Workforce Central, the time and attendance piece of it.
Right. So I'm going to be, I'm going to guess a little bit here. We'll see how accurate I am. So I went through this, and so my company is HCM Cloud Consultants, and you know, we've been in the more of the Oracle ecosystem, really tightly tied to their ATS Taleo world. And so went through a similar situation where Oracle bought Taleo.
Yep.
Didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but it was very fortuitous and a good thing.
Sure.
Because now, rather than 50 people out selling the solution, you had 3,000
exactly
people selling the solution. So have you found a similar thing? I mean, obviously, I know you've grown pretty quickly all in the last maybe 2 years, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Is a lot of that credited to the expansion of the product set now that you can now do consulting on because now you have two major platforms coming together?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely hit the nail there. You know, Ultimate, when we were just Ultimate, you know, we were selling a lot then. But when you add a whole new group, I mean, you know, Kronos been in business for a long, long time. Would always compete, regardless, but bringing two large, I mean, UKG now is the largest private health company in the HCM, or the largest one. So it just allows you, you know, you're bringing clients from both sides. You have a lot of clients that were in maybe Ultimate Software, HCM users, but, you know, they were UTA users. So now you bring all those WFM clients plus the combined with HCM. And that's really a lot of our work right now. We're going through a lot of migrations where they really, really love Kronos and maybe where they were in ADP. And this is a good opportunity to kind of have one single solution together, where they bring in UKG, and it creates a lot. It has created a lot of work for us, which is really why it allowed me. I decided early, late in 2023 to go and acquire a dimension specific company, because we were doing a lot of Ultimate. We were outsourcing a lot of the Cronus projects, and there was a lot of money. There was a lot of money there, and the investments really kind of paid up in 6 months.
So, and I'm a geek about this stuff. So maybe not everybody's going to be interested in it, but once you recognize that you're doing that type of work and you're expanding into the Chrono side, and you've already got the Ulti Pro, a lot of that set maybe in your base employees that are already on board with you, how did you evaluate a potential partner to bring on or a company to acquire? Was it somebody that you'd already been working with a little bit already, or did you have to go start Googling Chronos Dimensions consulting companies, or what did that look like?
No Googling. Listen, there are a lot of partners in the UKG system. And honestly, for the most part, I know a lot of them. They're really great partners. I always say, hey, I personally don't compete with a lot of our partners. There's a lot of work for everybody. Throughout of these projects in 2023, we did what we call like teamy agreement. We had a couple of teamy agreement with a couple of these partners. And, Prime Force, UKG Services was one of our groups that we teamed up on a project. And I had met Doug and Brian. They were at UKG for 15, 16 years. Really just amazing group of individuals. Got to know, them. We went to a sales conference in October last year. Got to spend a lot of time with them. Then we were in November at Aspire at UKG event. Spent a little more time with them. It really reassured me that, hey, my first goal was whenever, and I'm always open. I'm always looking at opportunities for us, for our group. But the most important thing was, is it the same culture? Because sometimes you can bring somebody just to fill in a gap, but that really, it really backfires. For us was, is it somebody that can, that group of folks, their thought fits what we're doing at ATS? That checked the box. There was a big need for us. That checked the box. And then the leadership team, which obviously they serve in our leadership. Doug is the head of delivery of VP services with us. And that checked the box. So after all of that, I said, all right, this is the group. And there were a lot of other groups out there that we had teamy agreement. It just, they weren't a good fit. This particular group was a great fit for us. And honestly, I've been part of Mergers acquisition, part of the acquisition at Equinox. When we acquired SoulCycle, when we acquired Sports Club LA, sometimes those things take a long time to integrate. We've been together for 4 months, and it's like you wouldn't even know that a whole brand new company joined ATS. Like I said, we were in Orlando for 4 days, spent time, a lot of them, and the camaraderie, the team aspect of both groups is just unbelievable to watch, and it made for a really, really easy transition for both companies.
Yeah, that's, I think that's, it's like getting married, right? I mean, you got to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. I mean, the hardest part, and I tell Doug, the hardest part about all of this was the lawyers. If there was one time where I said, I'm done with this, is really the lawyers. I mean, they were nitpicking, they were fighting about the little things. So to me, that was the most drained time, was really just working with lawyers from both. And they were just like nitpicking a lot of things. Sometimes they're showboarding one each other. But the rest of the stuff has been great. And and listen, we're always looking for opportunities. We're always looking to grow. I really want to be one of those largest partners in the ecosystem. That is my goal. But we're going to keep it organic. We're going to keep the culture that we have. The biggest thing I always tell my employees that we're never going to change. I think I work too much into some of the corporate worlds where, you get it to a state sometimes where you grow a little too big and people feel it. My goal is to always kind of keep, we have kind of the four pillars, the culture, the knowledge, the trust, the people. Those are the four things we're always going to keep regardless how big we grow.
I haven't been there, but we've been a part of a lot of big organizations, and that is certainly difficult. And it's one thing to have it on a piece of paper. versus being able to implement that. Well, I've got a ton more questions, but I don't want to miss out on the speed round.
All right.
So for those that are new to the HRS Careers Podcast, which may be everybody since this may be episode one, just by the way, you know, if this should be on all your podcast players, so you've seen this on the YouTube channel, if you are on Apple or Spotify, you know, this should be posted and available on all those platforms. But let's go into what I call the HRS speed round now.
All right.
I'm going to ask the questions quickly, but your responses do not have to be quick. All right, just to make that sure. So we will put some imaginary time on the clock here, and I'm going to go with question number one.
One.
This is a controversial one. Should the HRS function report to payroll, human resources, or information technology?
That is a very interesting question, and you know, people may agree or disagree with me. I always, you know, just being around HRS, I think it has shifted a little bit. Maybe early in the days, maybe it's reporting to HR. I personally see it into payroll and maybe potentially IT. I just look at HRS slightly different, Roy. Troy, I look at HRS as very kind of technical department. There's a lot of the reporting. There's a lot of those things into HRS. And I feel like the human resources departments have kind of transformed a little bit in a good sense. There's a lot more employee relations. There's a lot of more culture. There's a lot of more. So sometimes when you put HRS, let's say in a head of people, a lot of their goals is really growing the relationship side of the a human resource, and I feel like HRS sometimes just falls a little bit behind when it's under the HR. Versus, I feel like on the payroll and IT side, it's always growing. There's always new technologies. There's a lot of those things. I feel it does a little bit better under payroll and HRS. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, that is. I've got my opinion, but I'll keep that. I won't keep it to myself. It's the first episode, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether it is whether it works properly or not. I just know when I've been in that function as a human resource director or manager, I enjoy it more when human resources is organizing it, because it feels like you have you're on the pulse a little more tightly of like what does the customer really want, rather than it filtering through information technology. But you know, at this point, with privacy and all of these different things and having to conform to your IT policies, it's getting more and more difficult to not have it to report up to IT. And then obviously, payroll needs to go to finance, right? That's
a
no-brainer. And, you know, obviously now in a lot of situations where you have compliance issues, right, you got to have separation anyways of, you know, the HR person, maybe HR as doing the data entry, but they can't touch payroll. And so, it is interesting.
Yeah, you brought some really, really good point there, I think, Troy. And it just depends, you know, how large sometimes organizations are, to be quite honest. And, you know, sometimes you have directors of HR who are very technical. And really, sometimes you have directors of HR, like I said, who are more relation-driven, potentially kind of, you know, benefit-driven. So that's where, because I've had clients where HRS board HR, but the head of HR absolutely knows nothing about technical. So when you go to them and say, hey, we're trying to set up this org structure and we're trying to set up all these things, and they're like, okay, you know, what do you want to do? Because they're so focused on people, so focused on culture and DEI and all those good informations. The technical side, I think, lacks a little bit, but IT probably, IT, payroll, I mean, sometimes you can have it in all three departments, dotted lines around all of it.
Yeah, it's there's always this thing. So a lot of times if I have been in organizations where I was reporting very tightly up to human resources, and then, the IT department gets a request for me to get SQL Plus so I could do SQL queries, and they're, what? You're in HR. Like, why, you know, so there's always pros and cons to every setup. All right, let's go to number two.
Two.
Will AI replace HRS analysts in 5, 10, 25, 50 years or never?
Oh, man, that's, with AI now, it's crazy. We're actually investing a little bit on AI on our side. You know, Troy, I look at it in the 90s, when I came to the States, late 90s, and it was really right around the internet day, you know, and man, it was great to just go in and write very quick language. But I thought even the internet, I thought it took a long time. You know, it wasn't really widely available. I mean, it wasn't even widely available in Europe for a long time. You know, it took probably 10, 15 years. Then I always look at the cycle of the phones. Remember, you had the flip phones. Then we had the Blackberries, and we're all excited on the scroller. And next thing comes iPhone, and now we're iPhone 15 or 16. AI is just moving super fast. I mean, it's just like we didn't talk about AI 2 years ago. I mean, very little you heard about AI, and all of a sudden, in the last probably 18 months, I watch a lot of these. Publicly traded company, all of their earnings, and I've been listening to a lot of their earnings, everybody's got AI a little bit on it, you know? So it's moving really, really fast. I personally don't think it will replace everything. Just like when you go to a grocery store today, you have it replaces a lot of people at the cashier, but it's not, they're taking some people and then bringing to a self-checking machine. It's not always going to replace it. So I would just say it will reduce, I think it will reduce, but I think that's a good thing because it's going to automate a lot of functionality. And even that, I think, will be probably, I would say, 25 years. I just don't think it completely, I don't think we go completely automated, without any human touch. That's just my opinion.
Well, if my experience going through the McDonald's drive-thru is any instance of here in Omaha, they've tried, right? All these iterations of trying to take your order and come on, guys. It's just not working. It's not there yet. You know?
It's not there yet. It's just hard to talk off to a machine. But what's there, Troy, right now, for example, is you can go, you don't have to sit for 2 hours to write a paragraph about something. You don't have to sit. You can go to some of these tools and they'll give you at least an idea that you can tweak it. They'll give you an idea, an image that you can tweak it. So it's kind of helping formulate some of these things. I just don't see it completely reducing, you know, go 100% automation on the HRS side.
Yeah, and you probably know this as well as I do, is, you know, it seems like the last departments to get the technology are the HR, payroll, maybe not as much payroll, the HR side. But there's a lot of things. So you think about all of the new structure you have to put around even allowing your employees to use an AI tool. And I know maybe Eightfold AI and some of these companies that are coming along in the HR space will solve this. But, you know, there's a lot of data privacy issue with pushing information into this third party that, yes, they're great at analyzing the data, but what's happening to that data you just put in there?
Yeah, you and I know, like I said, payroll, HRs, you know, I remember, honestly, Troy, I remember 10 years ago, people said, hey, we're going to have payroll be done automatically. You know, it's just like, you're never going to touch payroll anymore. It's just data's going to feed in. But there's a lot of rules, especially when you're talking about California, GDPR. There's a lot of rules that, you know, you just can. I know UKG has invested a lot of time and money into, you know, getting AI into our HR, into the product. But it'll just be a combination. It'll be a combination with the HRS and payroll folk. I think it'll make it better. I think it'll make it more efficient. I think you'll speed things up. Instead of payroll taking maybe 2 days to process, it takes a day to process. But those are good efficiencies, you know, where you can have AI produce certain dashboards, certain data that's readily available instead of having to go create, you know, if you want to trends in overtime and trends into labor and trends, all those things, you can have some of these AI tools now that can do a lot of the work for you if you put the right calculation behind it.
Yeah, and that's you know, where I've found the help, and you're right, it has gotten dramatically better. I've had, you know, a ChatGPT paid account for 6 months or so, and even what you can do there, I mean, it's just from 6 months ago to now is just night and day. I mean, there were certain things it could do, and the key to using it was like understanding what it couldn't do, which is really, as consultants, right? That's what we have to navigate people through is. You know, yes, the systems can do a lot of things, but our job tends to be, what is it maybe not so good at yet? Where do you have to add a little extension? So yeah, I'm hoping the consultants are safe for a while.
Yeah, and one last thing, we were just, like I said, in Orlando with all of our team members, and one of my senior directors of professional service, you know, he spoke a little bit about AI. And if you, I don't know if you're a Microsoft shop or a Google shop, but if you go to Microsoft Teams now, Troy, you'll actually, and you turn this, so there's this AI coaching tool, it will tell you how quickly you're talking, if you're talking too loud, what's your tone of the voice. So like you and I are having this meeting. At the end of this meeting, it will give me all the feedback, how quickly I talk. Maybe I need to slow down, certain words I use. So those are, I think, the things that are really helpful, that before you had to get a coach and personal coach and go ahead, spend some time with a human. Now there is a technology within some of these platforms that really giving you real time feedback and just makes you better as a consultant, as a user, as a speaker, and so forth.
And here's something, question number three, which AI is never going to be able to do.
Three.
Now, you and I met when I think you were working in New York City with Equinox at the time, and we talked a lot about the food vendors there. What is your favorite NYC food vendor?
Oh, man. So, yeah, I worked in 33rd and Park, and then I worked at the Hudson Yards. And there's a lot of, as you know, in New York City, there's a lot of food, man. There's a lot of great foods. There's a lot of great steakhouses. For me, once a month or whatever I crave, I would go, there's this halal guys. There's like 56 and 6th Avenue, and there was this Jamaican jerk food truck that would come in once a week, and you could smell that on your 12th floor of the building. But those are my favorite. If I ever crave some chicken and rice, I'll go to the halal guys, and if I crave some more chicken and really get that burned, I'll go to the Jamaican jerk. So,
oh, we got to stop talking about it because it's about noon here.
Yeah, no, those are my two favorite. But there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of pizza places. There's a lot of food in New York. I live upstate New York, so I miss a lot of that now. And whenever we crave, we're heading down to the city.
Oh, absolutely. All right, number four.
Four.
We'll keep it a little lighter. So I know you still do quite a bit of travel from our conversations on email. And what's your favorite city to travel to right now for work?
I travel twice a week. I'm on the plane at least twice a week, it seems these days. Sometimes, this past weekend, 3-4 times. I do even day trips. My favorite place to work and visit, San Diego, Boston, and Philly. And I would name it in that kind of order. I do go to San Diego quite often, Boston and Philly. We have a lot of clients there, but I enjoy a good work at these cities and go have a really nice food. So.
Five.
And what's the first frequent stayer program card in your wallet?
So I'm a Marriott guy. I've been
Marriott guy. All right.
I'm a Marriott guy, and then one of my friends a Hilton guy, but I'm a Marriott guy. I will seek to go to most of the Marriott places. I stay a lot at JW. I'm a Marriott and Delta guy. I literally drive 2 hours all the way to JFK or LaGuardia just to fly Delta, and I do not go to Newark. But been a loyal Delta user for about 12 years, and Marriott at the same time.
That's commitment. Delta, Marriott, we're looking for a sponsor. So just let you know that.
Delta is great to me.
Excellent. All right. That is the, we'll close the clock down. That's the end of the speed round question. So I want to follow up on a couple of those, however. So AI obviously is the rage. I mean, what do you see as the big challenges/opportunities with technology moving this fast over the next 1-2 years, 18 months, what are you keeping your eye on?
Yeah, the one thing that we're developing internally, Troy, and we've hired quite a few developers. So we go through these obviously large implementations and we break them into like 4 or 5 cycles. You go through the kickoff and the analysis and build. And then there is this little thing called data conversion there that takes a long time that really can, that moves a project in and out. It's all about data and then you're going live. But if that project really doesn't go live, sometimes it really comes down to data conversion. And a lot of these days, there's with all these technologies, they're interfacing between each other. They're doing a lot of those things. So my goal, we hired a couple of our folks internally. How do we speed up these data integrations between, somebody coming from ADP to UKG or from, Workday? How do we go grab that data, run through this machine very quickly, and then load it into UKG or even kind of automate them, because that would create our time to live much faster, get clients instead of 9 months implementation. We cut it into 6 months. It works for us. It works for the client. But that's really, I think, our focus the next 18 to 24 months is trying to figure out, you know, that. And UKG did a great job because a lot of Ultimate clients were ADP clients. So they created a tool where you can just take a register. You can take a master control from ADP, run through a UKG a launch tool, and you will spit a lot of data for you. But if somebody came from Paycom or some other groups,
right,
go back to Excel spreadsheet, go back to these templates. And that is really difficult to extract the data from a completely different platform and format and bring it to our team. But that's where we're focusing. We're focusing creating partnership with some of the integration, Boomi. We do a lot of Boomi integrations. You know, we're trying to spend a lot of time with them. How do we, you know, kind of do a lot of these turnkey integrations? Those are some of the things we're focusing on in the next 24 months.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's always interesting, the survivors, right? I used to hear about Boomi like 8-9 years ago, and I just never really saw it in projects ever. Now you're starting to see that tool a lot, you know, as UKG and some other vendors have adopted it as a tool of choice. So this leads me into another question. So obviously, namesake of the podcast, HRIS Careers. Again, you can see job postings at hriscareers.com, or if you're someone looking for that type of talent, you can post there as well. What are you looking for right now? If we looked at your openings, what's dominating? What's that skill set that's in high demand that you are trying to find desperately, but maybe is there's a short supply right now?
Yeah, you know, I have a different view. Whenever people come through and apply, you know, for us, apply to work at ATS. Besides, obviously, their skills, which are really, really important, having, you know, they don't necessarily have to have, obviously, UKG-specific skills. But for me, it's always, you know, the drive, the team player, the problem-solving skills, the strong, you know, work ethic, communication, and also leadership. My goal is to take these guys and create them all the future leaders of tomorrow. Hopefully, they stay with ATS. But, you know, HRIS, for me, I mean, we started this whole business around systems, and it's been near and dear to me. I think there are huge careers into the HRS space, even if you're working for a client or if you're coming to a partner like us, because yeah, at least a good amount of our employees, Troy, came in from being employees at other organizations where they process payroll, they dealt with data. But coming then into this other side, it helps them prepare them to implement. You know, obviously you get the implementation side of those skills and then use those skills to implement all the system. I always find employees that came to HR to us that had that end user experience have a different approach when it comes to implementation. They're not very kind of checklist implementation. They spend a lot of time, you know, what are the things that they learned that they knew, they didn't know when they were and an end user and bring those skills into the partner system. But I think it's a great career. I think it's growing. I mean, you look at UKG and all the partners that have come through. I think it's a big big opening for a lot of folks over there.
And talking more, I'll call them hard skills. You know, the here's where you press the button to do this. You know, really knowing UltiPro's the system or the Kronos side. And let's talk about more of the U and UKG on the HR side or that payroll side. Is there courses available freely that you know where somebody can get this training? Or would your advice to be, let's say that somebody wants to be Lou in 10 years. You know, we'll just assume they've got the drive and all those pieces as well. But would your advice be go to work for somebody who's running UltiPro? Would it be go online and there's a 12 courses that you can take freely that UKG provides? Where would you point somebody to?
Yeah, so I think I'll answer it as two separate answers, Troy. So the one thing that we pride ourselves a lot, and I'm talking, you know, obviously ATS and UKG, it's unlimited. If you're a UKG customer, it's unlimited free training. And we really, you know, push hard when the client signs with UKG. We highlight that very often throughout the entire implementation journey. There's free trainings everywhere. And there are very specific journeys around the training. If you're on the payroll side, you take your payroll journey. There are self-paced training. There are instructor-led training. There's just a ton of training. There is also kind of a test drive training. You can go and test drive and log in as an end user, and you can kind of proxy as an HR manager, proxy as a payroll manager. So inside UKG, there's a lot of training. Obviously, you have to be at least a prospect or a client, but they have unlimited free training. What we're doing at ATS, a part of this acquisition, what really intrigued me about PrimeForce, they have one of our employees has created a whole end user training for a lot of our clients. And it's right now it's usually specific to workforce dimensions, but we're doing the same thing on HCM. But we've taken all of UKG training, we've taken all the clients' requests for training, and we've created our own library. So yeah, if you really want to get the training, you can come and work with Lou, work at ATS. And we'll push you through all this training, and we'll get you ready to implement in probably 60 days.
Oh wow, that is interesting.
Yeah,
definitely. Because ultimately, my goal in starting this podcast is to, the industry's been pretty good to me. I went into it a little bit thinking, oh, it's something I could maybe do remotely when I have kids and have a little flexibility. And then COVID had, and now everybody's remote, so it didn't really matter, But
it's easy for a lot of us.
Yes, but that is interesting. So I know we're past the hour, and Lou and I started talking and catching up before we pressed record. We probably should have pressed record a little bit earlier because we've gotten some interesting subjects for sure. But let's talk about number one. Who is a good candidate to use your services? Where should they be in the journey? Do you want to get involved with people when they're in the selection process, once they've made the decision to put in a UKG project? When do you want to start talking to these potential clients?
I think great question, Trey. Thank you. So if you asked me that about a year ago, we would say, hey, we'll be ready once you've made the selections of UKG, and then we will kind of take it from there. In the last probably 12 months or so, we've been engaged with the UKG sales folks, even at the RFP. I mean, we haven't really gone so far as at the selection level yet, but we get engaged very early on, even at the RFP, help the clients, answer all the RFP questions. And then we stay kind of on that same journey. We go through with a pre-analysis with them. And I take that from what we did when I was at Equinox. I whiteboard everything and say, hey, this is the future of the new system, what we want to look like. But yeah, I mean, we get engaged early on, and the goal is to keep our customers for life. Once they go live, we want to be in their journey for a long, long time. If it's post-live work, if they're going through mergers and acquisitions, our goal is to do a really, really good job during implementation and keep those guys for as long as we can. UKG has an amazing support team, but we provide a lot of technical support. You have the same consultants that implemented you that are part of our organization that will stay with you for a long time. And what we've found the last 2 years, almost 80% of our customers stay with us even post-live, post-implementations, because they just feel comfortable working with us. If they need a BI report, if they need an integration, an interface, it's much easier to just come to us versus go and open the service request and have somebody else scope it for you.
Oh, that's a great business model. And that's the way to grow a consulting company, right? Do good work, and they want you to be there at least in some capacity for a long time.
Exactly. That's always our goal.
So we can cut this if we need to, if we get in too deep. But what's the relationship between... Now, it sounds, when we talked earlier before we pressed record, it sounds like there's a really complementary relationship between what you guys do and UltiPro in general, whether bringing you in for RFPs, and it's that sounds like a really good situation to be in as a consulting company. But are there projects where UKG wants to keep the consulting work, or are you competing with them, or is that something that's just... And I'll give you the example for in the Oracle ecosystem.
Yeah.
I would say 7 or 8 years ago, Oracle had no interest any longer in doing any consulting work. they pushed everything out to partner. So is that a similar relationship in the UKG?
Very, very similar relationship now. I think if you asked Ultimate Software 7-8 years ago, Troy, they kept everything in-house. I mean, they didn't even have partners. And, and they looked at different models. And when you look at Workday, they push everything to partners. You just mentioned Oracle, they push out everything to partners. So UKG kind of went the same route where it says, hey, you know, partners, we just have a different approach. You know, we really, when you're in the UKG, they're off to the next implementation. And they do an amazing job, but, you know, they're off to the next implementation. For us is we implement, we want to be part of your journey, this entire process. You know, if you're using UKG for the next 5 years, 10 years, we want to be part of the process. Our approach is different. We're more personable with these guys. We kind of cultivate and personalize their experience. That is the way, you know, I did at Equinox. That's the way we want to kind of do a lot for a lot of our customers. We really want to personalize this implementation experience for these guys. We throw, it's a big team, so we throw all kinds of stuff together. You know, you're not waiting for a data integration person or data conversion. It's all kind of part of the team right there and then. That's why if you look at time to live, I feel partners do a lot of better job to get clients live early and on time.
Yeah, and that's such a good situation. It was just, I work in the ADP world a little bit more with a product called Horizon, which is really a PeopleSoft derivative. And, I'd gone to work for, I'll call it a boutique consulting company. And, you know, I live, you may be a little too young for this, but I live through the Y2K.
Oh, yeah, I was there.
Boom, bust, which, you know.
Nothing.
Also, we had the .com bust at the same time. Not a good situation. And at that time, ADP, you know, just took back all of the consulting work because they needed that revenue. Whereas before, they're just selling so fast and there was so much demand that it didn't matter.
The only thing I would say here is, when HNF, which owns both companies, Kronos and Ultimate Soft, the private equity firm, they wanted no business on the service side, implementation side. They all focus, hey, we want to sell subscription.
Hey, Lou, I really appreciate you coming on the show. This is fantastic. Like I said, you may be number one in the playlist once this all goes live in a week or so. Tell the audience where they can reach you if they want to, if they've got an UltiPro project coming up or they need support or anything in the UKG ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Troy. Really, really enjoyed this conversation. You were so kind to me 10 or so years ago, and you're more than kind this time around. Thank you for having me. You could go to getatsconsulting.com for all the services. We actually just launched a brand new website. But if you need something different, go to the UKG marketplace. You have all the service partners over there, and we start with Nate, so we're very at the very top. But look at those. And if you really want to go and see what our customers think of us, go to Raven Intelligence. That is a third party company that does reviews. The clients do reviews on anonymous on their behalf. Oh. So it's a very, very, very unique website that Bonnie and the team do at Raven Intelligence. We don't know where it's coming from, but those are customers that rate us. And if you want to just learn a little bit about the work that we've been doing it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Again, Lou Shalhaj, we certainly appreciate you coming on, being hopefully the first person on the podcast again. And from HRIS Careers, we'll talk to you all later.
Thank you very much, sir.
There we go.